This is The Topic is Trek, episode 46 for Friday, June 28th, 2019. No one ever mentions section 1 through 30. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already!
Ba-ba-bum.
Scored that entire thing myself. And by myself, I mean I had nothing to do with it. Well, hello, everyone. I'm Clinton Allward, one of your Topic is Trek co-hosts. What a surprise. I'm here on The Topic is Trek. And beaming in to join me first is Mr. Craig Stepp.
Hola.
Ooh, we have the universal translator is malfunctioning.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. It's working again now.
Yeah, hello.
And pushing the buttons is Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
If you count on your fingers in binary, then 31 is all your fingers are up. That's why it's called Section 31. They're giving you the high five.
He's pushing all our buttons this evening, actually. So, no.
Yeah. Already, and it's early.
Well, happy Picard Day. Belated Picard Day to both of you.
Do what?
I have no idea what one does on Picard Day. Makes a paper Picard.
Put your hand on your forehead a lot?
Yeah, face palming. Yeah, I don't know.
I made a little origami Picard face palming. You just pull the little wing and it...
Yeah, I learned how to play the Russican flute thing.
Yeah, there's many things you can do. You can start to tell someone something really important and never finish telling them what that thing was. You know, there's all sorts of things you can do.
Walk around the house saying, "Shut up, Wesley."
Perform the Picard maneuver. Just again, you just put on like a polo shirt or something and just or a t-shirt and do the Picard maneuver constantly. So, I don't know that I can't think of what one does on Picard Day.
Sit in your ready room and look at a plastic tablet. I don't know.
Well, on that pleasant note, it's time to open up subspace chatter.
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
Charlie, we've been over this a dozen times. We
again,
do.
Again and again and again. Working.
This just in. Alex Kurtzman has not been fired. Ignore the rumor. Yeah.
Don't you love it when you got to put out a press release like that?
And that's the news.
So this popped up because there are some sites that will go unmentioned that started bizarre rumors. Now, some of our listeners did get in touch and pointed us toward this, and I was able to say, well, let's look at the facts, not the rumors, and essentially that's what this article on Red Shirts Always Die does as well, saying this is completely false. And after that story came out of him being fired, nothing ever came of that. So everything's fine. And we're actually going to be talking about Alex's long-term plans for Star Trek in our main mission. But rest assured, this will not be in the past tense. Alex Kurtzman is still working on Star Trek.
Hey, what's funny is that as this story started making its rounds and I saw it, I was like, what? And then immediately the story right under it was, he announces the new Star Trek shorts. Oh, he's doing a few things before he leaves the office.
Or after that's right. He's left.
I got my cardboard box, but first, let me give you this press announcement.
I got to tell you what I'm doing at my new job.
Yeah, more Star Trek.
All right, let's talk about something a little more fun. And by fun, I mean just as bizarre and strange. And Craig, why don't you tell us about, is this some sort of a family feud of sorts?
Sort of. Well, what's funny is, this, you know, William Shatner is an avid tweeter, and so is Mark Hamill. And of course, something came up the other week and they both had to get in on it together. So Mars, they came up, scientists had found what looked like the Delta Shield from Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And of course, that started making the rounds. Oh, look, it's Star Trek. It's on Mars. They found it. Almost like seeing that face on Mars. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
It looked like an Iron Man mask almost. Well, of course, William Shatner starts tweeting out and says, hey, looks like we made it to Mars first. And then Mark Hamill started replying. And it went back and forth.
Mark Hamill said it
looks like a boomerang to me.
Or it looks and more then, like a crescent roll.
Yeah, and then I'm getting there. So Shatner says, don't be jelly, Mark. And then he says, oh, yeah, it does look more like a crescent roll, which are more yummy with jelly. Of course, they went back and forth a little bit more, just Twittering each other. It's kind of fun.
Yes, it is hashtag live long and unfollow me.
That's right.
I don't know those two. I have to separate them. I feel like Bill has now taken upon himself to say, Mark, you are the new Carrie. Since Carrie is gone, you will be my new foil. And we're just going to go back and forth like I used to do with Carrie Fisher.
Mark was not in on the
meeting, apparently, for that.
Yeah, right. Well, what's funny is seeing them two going at it on Twitter. It's mm-hmm. kind of like watching two puppies act like they're going to fight, but they're wagging their tails. And
yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Not really serious about it.
And I forget whether it was in this article or a different one I was reading about it that pointed out that Mark was mentioning that Carrie doesn't have a star in the Walk of Fame.
I know,
and
right?
So Shatner said, well, let's do something about that. And he was, you know, trying to help with that. So it's all good fun. Don't take it seriously.
Well, people. I will take this seriously. I was seriously surprised that she did not have a star on the Walk of Fame.
Right.
Because Princess Leia in Star Wars, but she's also a famous celebrity otherwise, but she's been a writer as well.
That's right.
Yeah. So she has a lot of credits to her
name.
Well,
the weird thing is it's not really, I posted someplace else, there's a criteria for getting a star on the Walk of Fame, which I became aware of when George Takei wanted to have a star on the Walk of Fame. You have to raise a certain amount of money. You have to get a certain, you know, there's a whole process, and then you get on the list. And so it's not like there's some group someplace that's in charge of the Walk of Fame that says, you know, who really should have a star? And they just do that. It's craziness.
Well, Weird Al just recently got his about 6 months ago? Something like that, maybe a little more. And his fans actually paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually twice, because they got him on the list and something happened and they didn't, either they didn't approve it or something the first time around. So he actually got on there got on the ballot twice to get it.
So we should start a Kickstarter, is what you're saying, for Carrie Fisher's Walk of Fame star.
I wonder what has happened. I'll have to investigate that to find out what has happened to that since then, because that was a while ago that came up. So I'm not sure if something is in the works at this point.
I'm still waiting on my notification.
But I've seen Bill star in the Walk of Fame. So
yes, I have. I actually have a picture of that. I think I took it.
Well, we have a picture of one that says Technorama podcast too, but that doesn't mean anything.
Oh, those deep fakes. I tell you there.
Wait a minute. Amazing. I just had a brilliant idea. Which city can we start the podcasting Walk of Fame?
Vegas.
Vegas.
Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Gee, can you guess where these people live, folks?
Hey, I don't want to have to go too far.
Scottsdale. Right,
that's got a nice sidewalk.
Chuck would have it starting at his sidewalk.
That's right. It's just all on my sidewalk.
There's a lot of history in this house. Why not?
He's going to go outside with a Sharpie, start writing in the on the concrete.
Just start outside making stars.
Outside the Twit Cottage. There we go. Let's have it there. Okay. Let's move on from that mock silliness to something kind of that doesn't sound quite right in the gaming world, but you decide.
So from MMORPG, that's always a mouthful, .com. Isn't that what Morn said when he got...
Morn says nothing.
Star Trek Online players can take part in the Rysian Lunat Festival starting July 2nd. This article, when I read it, it sounded like our Star Trek cruise. Beginning July 2nd, Star Trek Online captains looking for a bit of summer relaxation can grab some welcome downtime thanks to the arrival of the Rysian Lunat. I hope I'm saying that close enough. Lohlunat.
Go for it.
Lunat Festival? I don't know. The event will last through August 15th and it will launch simultaneously for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Captains will be able to take part in a number of activities, including Powered Boar Race. I really need some music for this.
Only if it's public domain, my friend.
All right, never mind. You'll be able to take events such as powerboard racing, the biathlon, horgon hunting, scavenging with Sovak, and the big dance party. See, I said it told you it sounds like the Star Trek cruise.
Or it sounds like a monster truck rally. I don't know, one or the other.
During these events, players will earn vouchers that can be exchanged for tons of summer event store items. This includes several pretty cool baseball uniforms, impulsive floaters. What is that?
Impulsive floaters?
It's capitalized,
too. It's like
those little
things you get in your eyes. They kind of float. You know,
vanity shields, food and drink items, and powerboards. So you can go powerboard racing some more.
I don't know. What happens on Ryza? Doesn't that stay on Ryza? I'm not quite sure how this all works.
Well, unless you put it on the subspace internet.
I don't know. It just sounds, it sounds wrong.
Aren't you a captain? An online captain?
My character is, well, made a captain. I mean, I don't really consider him a captain in any sense of the word. I mean, the guy can't even walk straight, so I don't.
But you hold the rank of captain, so.
I do hold the rank of captain.
Let's go figure it out.
And as soon as I can figure out how to get down to a planet's surface, I'm all over that. But I haven't gotten there yet. When I last left the game, I was in orbit and I was supposed to be telling people about the coming invasion, and I couldn't figure out how to get down to the planet.
I'm still a janitor.
All right.
Forever the bridesmaid.
Now, we have a couple of stories this evening, which are, I guess this is a kind of a silly stories evening in many cases. My turn is the Dungeons & Dragons classes of Star Trek's USS Enterprise crew. And this is an article that comes to us from Screen Rant. And they talk about various characters and where would they fall in terms of Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay.
And let's go down the list. So
you mean
Dr.
like
McCoy,
lawful...
No, this is like number 10 is Dr. McCoy. He would be a cleric.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Yeah, he's a healer. Okay.
Spock would be a monk.
Keep going. I'm a little iffy on that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Would you have something else in mind that you think you should be instead?
Yes, but I not a wizard, not a mage. What am I thinking of, Craig?
A scholar. I'm trying to think of something with more science.
Huh? Yeah, more of a scholar type. All right, keep going.
I don't think that's a class, is it?
Okay.
There is no.
Let's run these past you then. Uhura as a bard.
Okay.
No, I would say Guinan would be more of a bard.
Well, it's a bar. And on Enterprise D, you put those together, that's a bard, I suppose.
Yeah,
she's been barred or disbarred.
Sulu would be a wizard.
Who made these up?
Let's see.
Well, there's made up... logic beneath. I mean, there's an explanation below each one.
Christy Ambrose, if you're Christy Ambrose.
I like the look on the Sulu picture on the right. Follow through the show notes. This lady just looked like she got a whiff of something nasty.
Yeah.
Both of these people do.
John Cho's going, you talking to me? Let's see. Scotty would be a rogue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Worf would be a barbarian.
Mm, I see that. Maybe. I think that might be a bit racist.
What?
Well, I think it's Klingon, man. It's a Klingon. I mean, jeez. And
is Star Trek racist?
Captain Kirk would be a fighter, mm-hmm. not a lover.
He'd not
be
a paladin.
He'd be a lover too. He'd be a fighter. Q would be a warlock. Data would be a sorcerer.
How did they come up with that one? I wonder.
Let's see. Data was born on, or in this case, built with his android abilities, the same way a sorcerer is born with their talents.
Hmm.
He has to learn to understand aspects of his character that pertain to both humans and androids. The character of Data is very childlike in this sense, and he learns about the feelings and actions that humans take for granted. Understanding human features helps him use his innate abilities, which is similar to where a sorcerer comes from and what they need to learn.
Huh.
That's their logic behind it.
You know, Worf could also have been a bard. He sings Klingon opera.
And he bashes somebody else's. anyway, and Picard would be the paladin.
Hmm. Well, that was intriguing.
Yeah, but you tend to not agree with a lot of these assessments here.
I'm saying they could go a number of ways.
Hmm.
Hey, dear listener, if you have your own opinions, let us know.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Has anyone, there must be a dozen of those charts that have, you know, chaotic good with the different characters in it, I'm sure, for all the series at one point or another.
Nobody was a thief.
Nobody was a thief. Well, who would be the thief?
Who is stealing things? Kivas Fasho.
Well, I mean, if you go into secondary characters, I mean, you could have Harry Potter and so forth. But
I say, wow, there's a deep cut there.
Let's not go there, shall we?
Hey, you didn't say we couldn't.
Okay, we can't. No, we can't. All right, let's move on from that to a completely different story that has no connection whatsoever with the previous story.
And now for something completely different.
That's right.
And if you're a fan of the Kelvin timelines or a fan of some of the characters in the Kelvin timelines, you might have a nice surprise here. Because, you know, Dr. Kara Marcus, who was portrayed by Alice Eve in the Kelvin timeline movies, while in Wrath of Khan, you know, it showed that Marcus and Kirk had a history behind them. Into Darkness instead showed the beginnings of a relationship. Unfortunately, Kara Marcus' character was not included in the screenplay for Star Trek Beyond. So it was likely that Into Darkness will be the first and last appearance of the Kelvin version of Kara Marcus.
Indeed. Indeed. We'll never see her again.
Or will it?
Oh.
Reboot.
Yeah. So Tuesday, the actress released, I'm sure she did it by herself, released a promo video on Instagram for the mobile game Star Trek Fleet Command. It included her briefly reprising her role as Kara Marcus, as well as playing herself. With the likelihood of more Kelvin timeline Star Trek movies becoming more remote by the day, Fleet Command may represent the best chance of fans having seeing more stories set in that universe. So you can see the video and you can see her as herself and as Kara Marcus. She was in there kind of talking to herself for a little bit.
Yeah, so, acting very stern. And Kara Marcus is being kind of evil in this thing. I don't.
Yeah, she had a goatee.
Yeah, very, very strange. It's the darkest alternate Kelvin timeline. It's,
yeah, they're really crossing the streams there.
I don't know what's going on with that. But also, I mean, this article fails to note that the Kelvin universe is also in Star Trek Online.
Hmm.
Because the Discovery, I mean, we have. Oh, I'm sorry. What am I talking about? That's. I'm thinking of the mirror universe, not the alternate timeline. The Kelvin timeline. Never mind. Oh, yeah, because that's all CBS stuff. Okay. Yeah.
Have you played Starfleet Command? Fleet Command.
I tried to play Fleet Command. The problem is that I was playing it on a very small screen, and it's one of those things where you've got lots of readouts that are like a pixel tall per letter. And I go, this is not working out. So I don't know the things. I don't know if they have actor footage in that, if they have like Star Trek Online has of, you know, computer graphic versions of the characters. I didn't get that much into the game to know, is there any live footage or is it all computer generated? I don't know. So I'm guessing that if there's a Carol Marcus character in Fleet Command, that it's just, they'd use her voice, but you know,
no, they have, be doing any- well, it's like they show, well, you can see the screenshots here. They have, pictures of like, Chris Pine as Kirk and then you got Nero and Spock and everybody else. And there's Carol Marcus, but, and they're computer version, you know, CGI yeah. versions of the characters, yeah. but they'll, you probably will hear her voice in the game.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Cause, you do for the Star Trek Online, we have, you know, many of the actors doing voices. It was, you know, it had, Leonard Nimoy who did intro and part of it. And when I was playing the game, it was, some characters from Deep Space Nine. And then now you have one from Discovery on there and they have, yeah, just CGI representations of the characters for that stuff. But still, it was interesting. It was kind of a shock when I looked at the video and went, oh, yeah, Carol Marcus, what happened to her? She's oh, that's right. She wasn't even in Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah. So they need to spin her off on her own show.
That's right. Well, actually, she doesn't want her own show. She wants to be on Star Trek Picard. So.
No surprise there.
And there was an article that didn't make it into the show notes for this time, but since we just touched on that quickly, Marina Sirtis would also like to be on Star Trek Picard, but she wants nothing to do with the Tarantino movie. Not like she's been asked, but she says, I don't want to be in it. I don't want to see it.
You're going to say she wants nothing to do with Deanna Troi.
That's kind of a weird statement.
Now, I guess it's just not her thing, and she really doesn't, you know. She feels like, you know, that's like the wrong tone for Star Trek, and she just.
I would, you know what, as far as the Picard show goes, I could foresee, of course, I don't know where they're going with the show, but I could foresee if the show lasted more than one season, like maybe two or three, you'd eventually see some, if not all the original cast members at some point.
I don't know. I don't know that that's necessary if the writing is done well.
You have to visit Q in the nursing home or something like that. Cause, you know, I don't...
Or at least, yeah.
Q don't age.
I didn't say he was a patient. Or at least might be working there.
Yeah, or, you know, at least mention him or something. I'm sure we'll get great. Something.
The inmates are running the asylum now.
And yes. That brings us to our last story. And this story, speaking of all these crossovers and stuff, I just thought this was a fun article because it did some postulating on things. I thought, well, there's no way this would be a thing. And they came up with some stuff that went, maybe it could be
make
a thing.
You think, yeah. So from denofgeek.com, Star Trek Picard, 5 possible crossovers with Star Trek Discovery. However, it's not likely that right. Picard and Discovery will cross over because they take place in 2 different timelines. The Discovery, of course, is, what was it, 2267, and Picard is going to happen 30 years after TNG, which is roughly 2399. So, you know, there's more than 100-year separation between these.
Well, now there's 1,000
years. Yeah, now there's 1,000 years because, you know, Disco went into the future.
But what they're saying is... nothing but a stroke of a pen, by the way.
They make you think a little bit about, you know, there was a rumor going around about Control could have been the birth of the Borg. But as we learned from Voyager, the Borg started in the Delta Quadrant. However, you know, you could... remember that in All Good Things, Picard discovered that something in the future could affect the past. So, you know, there might be a bit of, as they put in this article, wibbly wobbly borgy worgy.
they put a trademark after that. I thought it was very interesting.
Picard could be searching for the forbidden Spore Drive. When you think about it, there were a lot of people that were on the Spore Drive project that weren't sworn to secrecy by Starfleet. So, you know, somebody may say, well, I think I'd like to build one of those 100 years after everybody's forgotten about it, out of plans that were buried in a vault. Now, the one that I thought was intriguing was Sarek had a mind meld. He had this link with Michael Burnham, right? Could transcend space and time. And Sarek also did a deep mind meld. I mean, he put his consciousness into Picard. Picard almost fell apart as it, doing it. And he retains those memories. So does that mean Picard knows about Michael Burnham?
Well, he also had a meld with Spock.
So Spock. Right? But Spock already knew about his sister.
No, but I mean that's two ways that he could have got that information. So,
yes. But is a mind meld one way or two ways? Oh, yeah, I guess it's two ways because it's my mind to your mind.
Yeah, it kind of goes back and forth.
We're speculating on something. No. That's totally science fiction.
Let me look it up. Let me ask a doctor. Hold on a second. Hey, doc.
It's bi-directional.
So there's several good postulations in here that are real fun to read. Did you have a favorite one?
I really like that idea of the Spore Drive. Again, I don't think any of the things that they mentioned in here, of the five things, is going to be in Star Trek Picard.
No.
This was just kind of a what if situation.
Yeah. You could imagine if the writers so wanted, they could use tie-ins like this. There's even one about the time crystals on the planet Boreth. But that one was a little bit of a stretch for me to even wrap my head around as I was reading it, going, well, really? Yeah, well, okay, if you think so.
Yeah, but I mean, I like, because of all those things, the fact that something exists, but no one talks about it, but there's probably rumors about it. And if Picard needed that, you know, that would be kind of the tie-in. Again, we're not saying this is going to happen.
No.
We're saying this is not going to happen. But in a what-if situation, that of all the scenarios is the one that intrigued me the most.
Fun fanfic is what I would call this.
Absolutely.
It turns out, Picard's still alive 1,000 years in the future.
That's right. Hey, I was waiting for you guys to show up. Hey.
My Borg implants kept me alive.
Yeah. Thank God.
Now, we've covered all the stories we're going to talk about this evening. So clearly that it was a very slow news week. And so we didn't have anything else. Well, you're wrong once again, because we have 14 additional stories that we didn't have time to cover.
We could do the show every day.
And that even includes another Jonathan Frakes supercut of him telling you this time around that you're right.
Yeah.
41 seconds. If you want to see links to all the stories we've talked about, including the Alice Eve video and all these additional stories, then go over to thetopicistrek.com and search for the episode show notes for episode 46, which should be the most current one if you're listening to this right after we release it. If not, just look for 46 and you'll find it. And you can check out all these articles, including one where Shatner has apparently been banned from Reddit. They go on and on and on and on.
It's better and better as we go.
It does indeed.
And Alex Kurtzman still has a job.
That's right.
As of this recording.
Indeed.
If you're listening to this in 2399, it might be a different situation.
Well, there's 2 weeks between this and the next episode, so.
Keep your fingers crossed and your eyes on the stars or something like that. But now it's time to close up Subspace Chatter.
Thanks, Charlie.
Yeah. Well, he didn't even use his hands. He just mind thing and they made the noises. And now it's time to head out on our main mission.
Here we go.
We have an imposter aboard.
The final frontier.
Don't even know what's going on anymore.
I can't change the laws of physics.
I understand, Scotty. Well, this time around, we're going to talk about the long-term plan for Star Trek. And what does it mean?
Just like the Marvel Universe? The MCU?
Well, in a way it is, because Alex Kurtzman said he has presented a 5 to 10 year plan for Star Trek to CBS.
Wait a minute. How does that work? Because he's fired.
I know. Well, see, this is another thing.
He got that thrown in jail for 5 to 10. Now he's got some time to think about it.
Yeah.
No, I think he just went to the 5 and 10. Oh, that's a callback to something that doesn't exist anymore. Okay. The plan emphasizes, he says, long-term goals over short-term rewards for the franchise. I'm going to read you this quote where he's talking about what he was telling the CBS executives before we get into the specifics. He told them, don't expect us to put the first thing out and suddenly you have 100 million new fans. That's not going to happen. Trek's been around for too long for that to happen. But what we do have is new generations. And what I can tell you is that Trek, in general, finds people when they're about between 9 and 12. It's never reached younger than that. It's never tried to. And to me, that's a hugely missed opportunity, especially because what you're really trying to do is influence hearts and minds with really positive messages about who we can be as a species and as people and what our future is. So why not start young? And not for a cynical reason, not because, you know, more toys, but because you really want Star Trek to reach people that you've got to start young. This is where I guess the Star Wars influence on me really mattered, because as a kid at 4 years old, I could imagine myself staring up at the twin suns of Tatooine and wondering what my life was. Trek didn't give me that same thing. It gave me Wesley Crusher. It gave me different characters. But again, those were older characters. So clearly the strategy here that he's talking about is to start very young to get people interested in Trek. And I can't say one way or another about where people necessarily fall into becoming interested in Trek. For me, I was 10 when I first saw Star Trek. So I fall into that range he's talking about, but you know, there are people that are older because, you know, I'm in college, you know, those stories, I'm in college and it was on. So I started watching, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I think you can fall under, you know, different circumstances, but I get where he's coming from. I think in the bigger picture, he's talking about getting interested. Now, with that in mind, I wanted to take a look at, well, where are we at the moment? Not specifically in the 5 to 10 year timeline, but what are we looking at that we know about what's going on in Trek? And does any of that play into what Alex is talking about? Obviously, we have Star Trek Discovery, and we know that's a known quantity. There really aren't any young people in Star Trek Discovery. We have Star Trek Picard. Clearly, Patrick Stewart is a little over the young person. And I know there are younger people in the cast. but the younger people in the cast are probably in their 20s or so, at least imagine late teens, early 20s. Then we have Lower Decks, which is animated, and I think that's supposed to be lighter fare. I think Star Trek Lower Decks is probably the first thing that we hit, because it's not Section 31, that might fit into what he's talking about, that kind of has that younger demographic. We have the short treks, and the short treks, we're going to have 6 of them this time around. 4 of them are going to be live action, just like we had last time. And then you're going to have 2 additional ones, which are animated. And Alex said that these were going to be for younger audiences. So once again, there's that younger audience thing coming in. And then we have the new Nickelodeon series, and that is going to have younger, I can't think they're 4 years old because they come across as derelict Federation ship and are flying around in it. I mean, I know you can do voice commands, but still. So I'm not sure how young those people are. I looked, and the demographics for Nickelodeon these days kind of run in that same age range that Alex is talking about. So, you know, that I think the shot at getting that audience with this series on Nickelodeon, which doesn't have a name. The new series does not have a name yet. It's going to be fully CG animated. It's not going to look like Lower Decks. It's not going to look like the animated shorts that are going to be in Short Treks. It's going to have mostly new characters. He said, you may recognize a face or two, but mostly it's going to be. So it's one of those cases where this could be a younger person's Trek. Like, okay, you've got Discovery and Picard and blah, blah, that's all nice, but I've got this over here that I'm interested in with Star Trek. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts about the plan and how things are fitting into this plan that we know? I mean, we don't know all the specifics of the plan. We just know the general picture.
I like the idea that there is a plan. It gives me hope for the series, hope for the
franchise.
Franchise, yes, thank you. I had trademark stuck on the brain, but yeah, I hope for the franchise. And like, much like I said, like the MCU had a long-term plan, and we liked the way that that ended up. The you know, having some cohesion, maybe some crossover would be fun. I'm not entirely clear how he's going to draw in the younger audience. You know, it's not like suddenly we're going to have you know, a Divergent series or, you know, a teen story pop out of it. Or maybe we will. Maybe there's going to be a Starfleet Cadets part of this somewhere. We tried that TNG.
I think the younger kids is the Nickelodeon series.
Yes.
That is going to be a group of young people who come across this derelict Federation ship. So I think that's the clearest vision of that type of thing, aside from Lower Decks. And Lower Decks is really I don't really have a good sense. I have a better sense of what this unnamed Star Trek series is going to be in Nickelodeon than I do about Lower Decks. Because they've said like a one word sentence about what that is. You know, it's a Federation ship and it's, you know, kind of the, you know, the janitors and such, or, you know, that's kind of,
yeah, that would be my stuff. Job.
Scruffy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. So I don't know whether the fact that it's animated is the only way I see that kind of fitting into going towards the younger audience, because, you know, young people, you don't have to have all young characters in something that young people will watch, but it is more relatable when you have younger people in it. To a younger demographic.
Right. Well, I kind of get the part about them wanting to go look at, to start bringing in a younger crowd, at least for, I mean, you kind of indoctrinate. I don't know if that's the right word, but getting people into the Star Trek thing, just like you said, you and I did, Chuck, I'm sure the same way. You know, I got into Star Trek probably when I was between 8 and 10 and watching reruns with my family. And then of course the movie came out and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. But, I tell you what else, drew me into, not with Star Trek, but, with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I was watching PBS, just happened to see it's low budget for sure. PBS version of Hitchhiker's Guide that was on the show. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And it just caught my attention big time. And then I went, oh, it's a book or books. Oh, it's several books. So I just kind of got into it from there and it really captured my attention. So I imagine that would have the same kind of thing for this.
Yeah. I we're speculating obviously on a lot of what this stuff will be. But the thing I like is that you're going at it from a lot of ways. And I think part of this could be, okay, we're going to try really short stuff with the Short Treks. We're going to have a regular series that goes week to week, like Discovery. In other words, it's released one episode every week. It sounds like possibly Picard is going to be released all at once because, you know, Patrick Stewart talks about it being binge worthy or to binge the show. So it might all come out at the same time. then you've got, okay, we'll try something animated on All Access. We'll try something animated on network cable television. You've got something for everybody. And the one thing that I see as different than the MCU is the MCU is all unified as one story, which is how you could have something like, Avengers Endgame, because it all feeds back in, or mostly feeds back into one story. And even the stuff that's...
They're all in the same timeline.
Right. And even the stuff that's not tied into that.
Like X-Men.
Like the Netflix stuff.
And, Deadpool.
You're talking about
Jessica Jones, Daredevil kind of thing.
Right. They kind of reference stuff that's going on. You can tell that it's part of the same universe. Now, with these different things in different, one's 1,000 years in the future, one's, we don't know what the relationship of time is to all these things. Are they going to feel disjointed from each other and it's not really a cohesive thing, or will they feel like one unit? And that's the thing I'm not sure, because we're talking about different animation styles and different looks and different that, and, for every single one of these things, mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to then switch from, oh, well, I like this show, and you go over, but this other one is not really, doesn't look like it. What is going on over here? Well, so that's the part that I'm going, well, I hope it all kind of does sort of, loosely is fine, but even loosely fit together somehow.
I'm sure they'll work it out. I mean, we don't know until we see it.
Right. I'm just trying to get some insight into this plan. And so this plan, if we talk about if he indeed was trying to project that as far as 10 years, nothing on this list really is going out to that mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did mention in passing that something about, Pike and Spock and Number One, saying that I would be remiss in saying you're going to see Spock again on Discovery, because obviously jumping so far into the future, that wouldn't make sense. But then the idea of bringing Ethan Peck back, and Anson Mount back, and Rebecca Romijn, and the Enterprise, I mean, we've loved it so much that to find a way to do that, that is definitely something we're thinking about a lot.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's going to happen in one of the short treks, and I'm not sure if this was planned before the season of Discovery started. I'm guessing maybe once they saw that ball was rolling and people were digging it, they decided, let's make one of the short treks related to that. Now, it's going to have
Rebecca Romijn. Yeah, Bob, you're fired. What?
Yeah.
Some guy was set up to do the fourth story.
That's right.
Short trek, and... I'm sorry, dude, you're fired. We're changing scripts here.
So it's going to star Rebecca Romijn and Ethan Peck. We don't know if Anson Mount is going to be in it, but it will be Number One and Spock in this story. I think it's already done filming at this point.
Oh, so we'll finally get to see Rebecca Romijn actually act.
Yes.
We didn't see her for very long in Discovery.
Right. Well, we saw her for a very short amount of time near the beginning of the season, and then she was on the bridge portions.
She hung out
of it.
in the mess hall for a while.
We
speculated over that handholding picture,
which was nothing.
Yes,
completely.
I think we were saying that's not a thing. That's her pushing one of those pads towards.
Here, sign this. We need toilet paper.
That was one of those moments where it was a picture that told way more of the story than video did.
That's right. You're reading too much into this. So I don't know that it was not planned, but I just have this feeling like, well, we want to keep our options open on this, and we want to keep that fire alive. So let's make one of the short treks related this story.
I have a feeling that there's some back channel stuff going on here, because I think, like you said, during the filming, I'm sure that they were going, this is actually pretty good. And then they saw the audience reaction oh, this is really good too, you know, to see their feedback. I bet they really got excited to try and do something with the Enterprise, and which would be cool. That would be really cool. I'd love it.
And if you, you know, so if you look at there being a 10-year plan, you know, there could be Kurtzman going, okay, so after this is over, or, you know, their plan beyond that is going to be, we'll, you know, we'll try to green light something. It could be a made for all access movie. It could be a miniseries, you know, not to say it's going to be a season long show.
And that's an option. That's an option. That'd be a good idea. I'd be down for seeing a quote unquote feature length kind of movie.
As long as it doesn't end with, you know, okay, Pike, you're going to go into this this kind of rundown ship here. Watch out for that baffle plate. You know, that's let's not go there with anything.
Yeah.
All right. So if you people out there have any thoughts about the China someplace, the 5-year plan or the 10-year plan for Star Trek and how you hope that this is going to work and your thoughts on it, let us know. But for now, we're going to come back from our main mission. We're going to use that thing that looks like a boomerang that Mark Hamill saw on Mars. Come back.
Yeah.
This thing?
Yes. That's it.
I've never heard of a tribble described as boomerang-like.
Don't throw the tribbles.
It's a tribble toss.
Yeah.
Unable to comply. Internal scanner relays have been damaged.
Thank you, Majel.
I hate it when that happens.
And it's time for our warp speed roundtable. Whoosh. I don't know.
You're adding your own sound effects now?
Yeah, that was my sound effect. Whoosh. You got anything better? Yeah, I thought, I guess he did. Okay. So last time around, we asked, who would you recast as Baylock? And we did get a suggestion from listener Diane, who said, Ron Howard.
I love
it. She also noted, he's even bald.
So is Clint Howard. Exactly. I think we should Clint out of reprises.
You can't reclass, but you can't recast Baylock as Clint Howard. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
She also sent in a lot of her favorite Star Trek IV quotes, including, and I know I use this one all the time myself, you know, break it up. You look like a cadet review. You can always use that one when people are just milling around, you know, not have any idea what they're supposed to be doing. Works in every situation. But this time around, our question is, we talked about this new animated Star Trek series that will run on Nickelodeon and will feature mostly new characters, but in our we've had a couple of what if stories this evening. What if it included an existing Nickelodeon character? Which one would you choose?
Absolutely.
and tell us a bit about that character or why you would have that character in there. I am going to start to just start off with this one. I'm going to ask Craig.
Oh, dear, no.
Who would you want to have from all the pantheon of Nickelodeon characters to be on this Star Trek, theoretically on this Star Trek series?
Well, I want you to know, I gave this a lot of hard thought. As soon as the question was posed to me, I spent a lot of cycles working on this. And after like 30 seconds later, I came up with CatDog.
Yeah. That'd be CatDog.
Yeah, I want to see CatDog on the bridge. A captain, no less.
Oh, you wouldn't know if there was a transporter accident.
Yeah. Now would CatDog be the captain and the first officer?
Yes. So they kind of, and they argue in which one's which all the time. Exactly.
Yeah. And where does the comm badge go? And is
my first thought was Doug, but I went with CatDog.
Doug, funny.
Not going the Billy West route, huh? No Doug.
You know, there are Nickelodeon characters that are not cartoons, Craig.
Are there? Oh, yeah. Well, CatDog works.
It does. I kind of thought you were going in for CatDog as like this bizarre alien that they come across on some planet and just can't make any sense of how it works.
No.
It has two heads, but there's no... There's no, no, it doesn't have that. How does this work?
See, I want the viewer to watch it and go, how did he ever make it through Starfleet Academy?
The Kobayashi Maru was a piece of cake.
Yeah. Shoot. No, don't shoot. No.
It just broke the machine.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go next. And I would like to see Plankton as a Romulan.
That would be good.
I love it. Plankton from SpongeBob.
They just would have to be careful not to step on him when they, you know, the shuttlecraft comes down on the planet and just lands on top of Plankton and the rest of the...
Get off of me!
Now I'm reconsidering Mr. Krabs as Neelix. See him whipping up something behind the...
Yeah.
Tear me Krabby Patties again for your whole crew. Oh.
We don't have dollars here. This sucks.
B'Elanna Torres goes mental because we're having Krabby Patties again.
Again.
All right. So we've had our goes at it. What about you, Chuck?
It's no contest. Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy.
Yes, that's one character.
I see. But hey, no, CatDog is one character.
Right.
No, CatDog is literally one character.
You can't have Ren without Stimpy. There'd be no point.
Okay, so you have Ren and Stimpy.
Yes. Are you asking what they do?
Yeah, are they aliens? Are they crew members? What's the deal?
I think they're not a recurring role, but they'd be. They'd be a recurring role, but they'd be a minor character, sort of like you go to the planet and oh, geez, there they are again.
Stimpy, bring me my coffee.
Okay, Ren, no problem.
They did have space madness. Well, actually, Ren had space madness.
I know. I love that episode.
Did anyone have a second choice? I figure we go.
Yes, second choice would be Jimmy Neutron.
Well, that's interesting because my second choice would be Carl Weezer. And
hey, where are the llamas?
It would be a starship. It would be him and the rest of the crew. The entire crew would be llamas with those red kerchiefs. That would be the crew. That would be his ship.
And I'll bet most of our audience thought we were too old to know these characters.
Yeah.
Did you have a second one in mind, Craig?
Yeah. I was trying to think. Was it Sheen? That was his name.
Sheen. Oh, we're going to go full out Jimmy Neutron.
Yeah. Jimmy Sheen.
And yet, well, there's kind of a Star Trek connection because remember who was the voice of the alien leader in the Jimmy Neutron movie, which started the... kicked off the series, Sir Patrick Stewart. So there is your Star Trek connection right in there in Jimmy Neutron.
You could also throw in, you know, like Clarissa as a love interest for Wesley.
She was. The actress did appear on Star Trek.
Well, once you've explained Melissa it Joan all Hart. To me, now I understand. Yes. Wait. How could she explain it all to a genius? I don't understand. Doesn't make any sense.
There's more than Wesley didn't know at all when it came to girls. Clearly.
Genius.
Geordi didn't know at all either. Boy, we didn't have really any good... Well, I guess Riker was the man of the show.
When he wasn't like almost... severely hurting himself going over a chair. But anyway,
I'm really curious to see what Crazy Joe weighs in on this.
Yes. So that is our next thing. As we always say, if you have an idea of what Nickelodeon character, and clearly we're talking about either live action or animated, even though it's for an animated show, you can, you know, have a live action character. It's all made up. So the rules don't matter. Let us know. You can tweet us at The Topic is Trek or make a comment over on our Facebook page, and we will let people know next time if we get any responses, what other people have to say about this silliness. All right.
I'm scared to ask.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out what our listeners are made of. I think we know. Yeah. So at this point, it's about time to refill the dilithium chamber and get on out of here. Once again, I am Clinton. You can find me over at Comedy Forecast, all one word, with the number 4.com, and on Twitter at Comedy Forecast, Facebook at Comedy Forecast. You can find me on MeWe Comedy Forecast, just Instagram, your toaster oven, wherever fine dust bunnies are found. I don't know.
Just ask your
internet is found.
your talkie home assistant thingy.
Yes. Timey-wimey thing. How about you guys? Who shall speak for you this week?
I'll defer to Chuck.
Step forward, Scarecrow.
No, step backwards. Okay. Chuck.
Wow, silence. Neither of them. Okay.
I thought I delegated. Dude.
I just delegated to you.
Fine.
You can find Chuck and Craig at Technorama.
Technorama podcast, yes.
Chuckchat.com/Technorama and the Technorama podcast.
Well-oiled machine.
Must I do everything for you people? Okay. So hit the theme, boys.
No, you got to do that too.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek, visit our Facebook page, or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek,
don't put on the red shirt. Very well.
Where's my llama?